Welcome to Coffee with the Coaching Revolutionaries from thecoachingrevolution.com. Hello and welcome to the marvellous Jo Woods. Hello, Jo.
Hi, Sarah. Nice to see you.
Now, Jo, we had a chat last year, didn't we? We made a podcast episode last year when you had one mentoring session.
We did, yes.
And you were very excited. And at the time you said, my one mentoring session was worth the fee in itself.
Yeah.
Now, I believe you've now had nearly all of them. You've got one more left?
Yes. Yeah, I've had 9 out of the 10. I've got the last one scheduled in, yeah.
So where are you now compared to where you were last time we spoke?
Oh, where to start? Honestly, like a different person, I think. When I started, I'd had 2 months really of having launched my coaching business. So going back to the spring of 2020 and really floundering and thinking, well, I haven't got any clients because I'm a crap coach. And so that really floored me because it knocked my confidence, because I'm not new to coaching, but I'm new to doing it as a business owner for myself. Anyway, so I was at a networking meeting and somebody was on the call and listened to what I was saying and said, I'd really like to put you in touch with Sarah. I think, you know, you should have a chat with her and see how she can help. And I said to you then, it was as if you were in my office looking at me and listening to what was going on in my head. So I signed up really quickly. And yeah, that first session with Elisa was just like a real eye opener. And I do remember just thinking, I am good at this. I can do this. And now I can see like a way forward. Mm. And I now have somebody next to me that's going to help me do the thing that I love doing.
Yes.
So yeah, that was where I was after the first session. Yeah.
I remember you saying, I realised that I've been really busy doing nothing.
Yes.
Which is where you'd been before you joined us.
Yes.
So here we are. Oh, sorry. Go on.
No. And I am 100 times better at that now. Still not perfect. But one thing that Elisa said that stuck with me, and I share this with other people because it's one of those simple things that kind of sticks. And it was around, you can tell yourself you're busy, but that's not really the right tick in the box. And actually, you can tell yourself you've been productive, but actually that just means you've had some output. What you really want to do is be effective. And that stuck with me to think, okay, well, what do I need to do today that's going to get me my next client?
Yeah.
So that's been a learning process, because I've gone from not really doing anything of any worth to launch my business really, to most days spending most of my time doing all the right things. So that's been a huge step forward, and I absolutely wouldn't have had that without Elisa. No question. I'd still be doing the same stuff I was doing.
Brilliant. So that actually, Jo, that's really brilliant. So you feel like you know what you're doing.
Yeah.
And you're doing it.
Yeah. For the most part, yeah. Not perfect, but...
Well, no, it's very easy to fall off the wagon, isn't it? Especially with pandemics and good summers and all of this stuff and between there since you joined us now.
Yeah.
So what do you do? What marketing activities are you doing that's generating your inquiries?
Well, Elisa really helped me to take a step back before I started to take several steps forward. And that was a bit of a learning curve for me, because I wanted to do everything tomorrow and as a result was just getting in a tailspin. So we spent a lot of time and she asked me some incredible questions that sometimes I got a bit frustrated with, but then I understood why. We had to really get under the skin of George, and George is my ideal client.
Yes.
And it wasn't just good enough to say, oh, I think she probably does this, that, and the other. So I spent a lot of time digging deep and figuring out who she was, what was going on, why was she waking up in the middle of the night and how I could help her. And then it all started to fall into place, I suppose, because then I realized I could write posts based on what she needed to hear. And that was another really useful thing I learned from either from you and Elisa, I think. This has got bugger all to do with me and nothing to do with what I want to write about.
No.
And in terms of generating business, this is about what does George need to hear. Now, I caveat that with, sometimes there are things I might like to write about that show you the human side of you, like using the word of the day, maybe.
Yeah.
But that, I think, is a nice mix. But it has to be, that has to be, for me, in addition to the stuff that George needs to hear about.
Yeah.
What is it that I can say that's going to make her feel like I did when I was like, you are talking directly to me? So I have a mix of different posts. I haven't really got into videos yet. That's probably my own issues going on there, but I haven't really done videos yet. But I'm having some success with the posts that I'm writing. So it's a mix of a call to action. Did you know I do a free discovery call? Here is a blog. And then the kind of messaging type stuff, which is, you know, painting the kind of picture where they are now. Are you feeling like this? Do you feel like this? But mixed in also with the positive stuff. Imagine if you had this, imagine if you had that.
Absolutely.
And that was really useful that we learned from one of the Monday Night Live masterclasses, I think.
Yeah, yeah. So there are a couple of things that you said in there that if somebody's listening, they might think, I don't know what you're talking about. So the word of the day, it's a game we play. We in our Facebook group, every day we have a word. And the game is, can you write a post with this word in it? And they are very random, some of these words. I think we've had pretzel, gnome. We've had some really odd ones. But we've also had some that are a lot easier, like thought or plan or what have you. But every day there's a word and nobody has to get involved in it. But if they want to, it's just a nice way of getting you to think slightly differently about what you might post that day. And the thing about... it's not about you. Somebody once said to me, and it stuck with me, and it's absolutely true. There is only one star of your marketing show, and it ain't you. And yeah. It is really true that what almost every coach does is that they look at their marketing through the wrong end of the telescope. They look at it from their point of view and what they think the client needs to know about them. And what they fail to realize is that the client doesn't care about them yet.
Mm-hmm.
The client only cares about the client. Mm. And understanding the concept is one thing, but actually understanding it enough to be able to generate content is understanding it to a whole different level, isn't it?
Yes. But that's where the work, like the foundation work, comes in for me, looking back, is that what, that's why I spent time, that's why Elisa, my mentor, had me get under the skin of my ideal client, so that I would know these things. Because if Elisa had just let me get away with, as it were, skimming over the top, then what would my marketing be? It would be wishy-washy, vague, nondescript, and not really talking to anyone. And I guess that's the point, isn't it?
Yes.
And it needs to talk to people.
Yes.
And I wouldn't be getting people message me saying, I really like what you write. It's a narrative of my week.
Nice.
I had that from someone, yeah.
They said
it was a narrative of their week.
Wow. That is good. That's exactly what you're looking for, isn't it?
Yeah,
that the feeling that you get when somebody jumps into your inbox or sends you an email and says, hey, Sarah, hey, Joe, I've been reading what you've written and you're talking about me. Can we have a chat?
Yeah.
I think that's one of the nicest feelings. I think it's one of the best bits about working for yourself.
Yes.
It is. It's lovely because they know you can help them.
Yes.
Mm.
Yeah.
And I suppose I suppose actually that's everybody's perfect, isn't it? Everybody's perfect outcome is that you're not running around saying, can I coach you, can I coach you? They're coming to you to say, I think I need to talk to you.
Yes.
Mm.
Yeah, and that's an interesting shift as well, thinking about the difference in me, the difference that I see in me between when I started with the coaching revolution and now. Mm. So what are we, 8-9 months on maybe? Mm. Is a real shift in how I present myself, I suppose. So I picked up a new client who started working with me this year, so January 2021.
Mm.
And I had met them in a networking event. And we'd had a 10-minute one-to-one, and I was asking about them and what they did, and they ran their own business, and how long had they done that, and being very conversational. And what did I do? I am a coach. And then kind of turn the conversation back round to them. And within about 2 minutes to spare of this 10 minutes, she paused and looked up and said, do you think coaching could help me? And I said, why don't we find out?
Mm.
So we put a conversation in the diary, and she's a client, and I'm over the moon, because the same feeling that you get when you just described, when you get a message from someone saying it's like you're talking about me.
Mm.
The feeling I get when I get off the call with a client, I'm just like, I love my job. I love what I do.
Mm.
This is amazing that somebody started that session feeling something, and now they feel a different way, and it's better.
Yeah.
And it's whatever the differences it's made in their life, they now know they don't have to still keep doing that same thing, or they've moved forward with whatever it was I was able to help them with.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
that's an incredible feeling. And so the point of talking about that for networking is, if I'd have shown up before spending time with Elisa, I'm a coach and I'm going to sell you my coaching and I'm a really good coach and pick me. Not exactly like that, but
yeah,
it was a different me. Mm. And so showing up in a different way is what made that person say, could you help me?
I think the thing is, the thing that we realize when we go through this process is that nobody buys coaching. Nobody wants coaching. They don't.
Yeah.
Nobody
yeah.
wants coaching. They don't even know what it is.
Yeah.
They certainly don't want it. And it's when coaches say to me, oh, well, my website's SEO'd, and you look at it and it's an online CV and it's, you know, it might be beautiful, but it's a lousy website. And they say, well, it's all SEO'd. And he's like, SEO'd for what? Anyone who's searching for a coach. It's like, mate, no yeah. one's searching for a coach.
No.
No one is searching for a coach. Nobody's searching for a coach, and nobody wants coaching, and nobody nope. buys coaching.
No. Nope.
What they buy is the outcome, and that's what you can now articulate.
Yes.
Yeah. If you work with me, no, let's take a step back from that. If you have this problem, this is how it's showing up in your life. These are the things that I know you've tried to make it go away, and
yeah.
they haven't worked. And if you work with me, this problem will be gone.
Mm.
That's such a powerful message, isn't it?
Mm.
And so nobody wants to buy your coaching. They're not interested in your coaching. Nope. What they want is for their problem to be gone.
Yeah, yeah. It does. Sometimes I do smile to myself that the profession that I now find myself in, that, yeah, is one that people effectively don't buy. Which is, you know, quite funny. But here we are, and I love what I do. And
yes. Well, we change lives. Coaching is transformational. And the problem with that, and there is a problem with it, I think, is that we coaches who know it's transformational, mostly because it's transformed our lives.
Yeah.
You have to have experienced it to want to then go on and become a coach. And so we want to talk about the transformation, and we want to talk about the coaching process, and we can get uber excited and kind of, you know, or sparkly, etc., about the process. Nobody buys a process.
Yeah.
We don't. People buy outcomes. And if you say to a coach before they've been through the coaching revolution marketing process, if you say to a coach, so, you know, what outcome can your client expect? They will all say, it depends.
Yeah.
Because it's everybody's different. I say, yes, it depends. And yes, everybody's different. But nobody buys it depends either.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't buy a coaching process and they don't buy it depends. So what can you do? And the answer is exactly what you've been saying. You identify the thing that's keeping your kind of client. And, you know, the idea of this ideal client and not getting bent out of shape. If somebody approached you and said, Joe, can we work together? And they didn't fit your ideal client profile. You don't have to say no. Mm-hmm. you can sell your coaching to whoever wants to buy it. But as far as your marketing focus is concerned, you've now got a target for it.
Yes.
Which is so much different than having a, I'm trying to remember, is it called a blunderbuss? Those guns that just go.
Oh yeah, just scattergun. Yeah.
Yeah.
My, the first iteration of my website before I joined Coaching Revolution was pretty airy-fairy. Doing nothing to further the cause of coaching not being woo-woo. And, oh yeah, I could sell you three types of coaching programs, no question.
Yeah.
So the focus was entirely the wrong way around. And it's interesting, and I've heard you say this before about this not doing scattergun and being very laser-focused. But still, if you're thinking of that laser focus as you talk about it as being the bullseye, that people around that will see it. Mm. And... was I convinced about that? Maybe not, if I'm honest. And then it happened. So my ideal client, George, she's 44. So my LinkedIn headline and summary, I help women, I help female leaders, etc. And I had a guy message me through LinkedIn and I quote, I know I'm not your target audience, but absolutely brilliant.
Yep.
He really liked what I was writing.
Yeah, I've got the problem you're talking about. I'm not a woman, but could you work with me anyway?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This goes back to Stella being the bullseye, my bullseye on a dartboard. But if you look at the very outside edge of that dartboard, you've got John Carter, who's an ex-Hollywood actor in his 70s who lives in Brisbane. You know, who couldn't be further away from my ideal client who went, actually, I'm really struggling to find paying clients.
Yep.
Yeah, so it really does work, doesn't it?
Definitely, yes. Yeah, yeah.
And it is a nice feeling that when somebody who doesn't fit your profile goes, actually, you might be talking about me too. That's how it works.
Well, I think that's the thing that comes across in the content, isn't it? That if my ideal client is 44-year-old female George, that doesn't mean that every single one of my posts is talking about being 44 and women and a woman and being called George.
No.
But so the posts are about the thing that keeps them awake.
Yes.
So the guy who happens to be reading that, who might be in his 30s or in his 50s, mm-hmm. he might not be employed. He might run his own business. But still, if those things are keeping him up at night,
yes,
that is still speaking to him.
Yes. Yes. And in having that focus, because your ideal client is really it within your niche. It is a focus within your niche.
Yeah.
So and it's a fictitious person that you create, and people have a lot of mind monkeys around that.
Yeah.
You create this fictitious person to sit in the middle of the niche that you want to operate in, and the only purpose of that ideal client is to give you a bullseye to talk to.
Mm.
Now, the fact that you need to know them as well as you do, like you say, can be frustrating in the early days, very frustrating in the early days. And the fact that you need to kind of really dig deep with them so that you get to them at an emotional level, because that's what, you know, people buy emotionally, but you get to them at an emotional level means that everything that comes afterwards is easier.
Yes, 100%.
And yes. That's the part that... it's like the crest of a hill, isn't it? You've got to get up the hill before you can get down the other side.
Yeah. But that must be the bit as well where coaches who don't go through that process are probably never, they might never get the traction on their content. They might never get anybody because they might be where I was, which is I can help everybody with everything. And I remember there was a guy who was doing a 5-day challenge thing. I don't just remember his name now. And he said, I know that's what you're all thinking. And yes, your gifts can help a lot of people with a lot of things, mm-hmm. but your marketing can't.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's the same way of saying a similar thing, I think.
Yeah. This goes back to this idea of being Wurzel Gummidge and having two heads, and one of them is your coaching head that you use to speak to your client in a delivery session.
Yeah.
And that's the delivery side of your business. And if you take that head off and put it to one side, the other head is your marketing head.
Yes.
That doesn't speak in a delivery session, that doesn't speak face-to-face with your client, but speaks to them more generically via your marketing, but still has to have the focus, but is a completely different language, a completely different set of skills.
Yeah.
And you know, in as far as your actual coaching skills are concerned, yes, you can help anybody with anything. As far as your marketing skills are concerned, if you try and help everybody with anything, you help nobody with anything.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Well, yeah. It just doesn't land with anybody, because everybody is going to look at it and go, well, that's not me.
Well, in actual fact, it's even more significant than that. They don't even see it. We have this reticular activating system in our brain that kind of notices the things that are relevant to us, and generic stuff, we literally don't even see it. We just scroll past it without even seeing it. It's stuff that hits us between the eyes, or in the feels, as
in
it were.
In the feels.
Yeah, that's the stuff that we go, oh, hang on a second, that's uncomfortable.
And yeah, oh shit, she's talking about me.
Exactly. And it's in that discomfort that, and you know, you go from sort of kind of not knowing Joe Woods exists to going, oh, that was a bit prickly reading that was a little bit too close for home. And then you see it again, and then you see it again, and then it starts to become uncanny, and then you start to look out for it. And eventually, after x number of, and it depends on individuals. I mean, once upon a time, before the days of social media, it used to be that people needed 7 points of contact. And by that, I mean, they needed to have seen something about you before they felt able to approach an organization or an individual and say, hey, you know, can I have some more information? Nowadays, it can be up to 30. So they need to all these touches with you before they go, okay, this is now uncanny. Joe, you're talking about me.
Yeah.
And I think, and I'd be interested to know if you agree, it's the most comfortable way of marketing a coaching business. Once you've got it and you've got your message, it's very comfortable, because there is no buy my coaching. It's just, this is who I work with. Am I talking about you?
Yeah, definitely. And it feels authentic, I suppose, is the right word.
Crap, coaching word alert.
Oh, sorry.
Authentic. No, but you're right.
So it feels, well, it feels right for me. And I don't know if this is my mind monkeys, but I never felt I was particularly good a salesperson in my corporate life. So I know that this is my business and nobody else is selling it if I'm not doing it. But certainly finding a way that think where I feel I'm enjoying this, I'm getting better at it, and it's something I can sustain. I can do this. I can put the work in.
Yeah.
And then seeing the results. I guess that's what I mean about the use of the word authentic.
Yeah, it's all right.
He says in speech marks. It's it feels natural to me. That's a better word. It feels where I sit.
There's nothing pushy about it. There's nothing uncomfortable. And I think one of our other mentees hit the nail on the head when she said, marketing in this way, I'm still me. And she's an introvert.
Yeah.
And, you know, she, I wouldn't say she's shy, but she's certainly not somebody that is out there and loud. So she's an introvert. She said, I'm still me. I still have the same values. I haven't had to compromise any of them. But yeah. I now have a way to articulate what I do to the people who can help, I can help the most, in a way that they can understand.
Yes. Yeah, I'd agree with that.
Yeah. So somebody listening to this and thinking, do I need a conversation with Sarah? What would you say?
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. I mean, this has changed. It's changed me. It's changed my approach to my business. I'm much more confident in what I'm doing in terms of the marketing side. I'm much more confident in my pricing. I believe in what I'm doing even more. So yeah, there's so much more. And one thing I would like to convey, if people think, there's a price for this process and what I'm getting is 10 mentoring sessions, I would say that is absolutely the wrong way to think about it. Because I've made some friends, the sense of community is incredible, the support, the trainings, the learnings, all the other things that you get as being part of the group is huge. I mean, if you added all that up, you know, if you went on a 1 hour training course every Monday night, you know, what would that cost you? So that's what I would say to other people is, if you're looking at this thinking, I'm buying 10 mentoring sessions, then they're not looking at the picture, they're not looking at the bigger picture properly.
Yeah. One of the things that I say to people is that coaches come to us to fill a knowledge gap. So they come to us to buy 10 mentoring sessions. What they get from us is the whole world. Because yes, you get 10 mentoring sessions. And when you arrive, that feels like the most important thing. But actually, very quickly, you realize that it's just part of the most important thing, because the most important thing is the community. It's the community is all of it, because the community will support you in between sessions. You will be supported and taught and helped by everybody who's a few pages ahead of you in the manual, as it were. You know, there's the support available from everyone, not just your mentor. And I think the collaboration that goes on, and the fact that we're not in competition with one another, because this is something that when I talk to coaches, they say, oh, but you've got other career coaches, or you've got other health and wellness coaches. It's like, but we've all got our own ideal client. And what that means is that we are not in competition with one another. And what that means is you get collaboration, you get support, you get people helping one another, you get people passing leads between one another, because they'll go, this doesn't suit me, you know, this isn't with me, it's somebody for you. And I think that isn't to be underestimated.
Yeah, you make a good point, actually, thinking about, you see, I'm thinking about it being on the, having had 9 out of my 10 sessions, so it's the hindsight piece, isn't it? Now I look back and know that that mentoring was only part of it. And yet, yes, you're right, actually, when you start, that is the thing that you think that you're buying.
Yes.
But it is so much bigger than that.
Yeah. Yes. And that, I think that might be a lovely place to leave it, that the coaching revolution is so much bigger than the mentoring process.
Yeah.
I'll take that.
Good.
Thank you, Jo. Thanks for your time.
Not at all. It's been my pleasure. Thanks, Sarah.
And good luck.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Coffee with the Coaching Revolutionaries from thecoachingrevolution.com. If you go to Facebook and search Coaching Republic, you can find our business building community, especially for coaches. See you there.